Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the business update conference call of GHCL Limited on strategic divestment of home textile business, hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. We have with us today Mr. R.S. Jalan, Managing Director, Mr. Raman Chopra, CFO and Executive Director of Finance. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the end of the presentation. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now would like to hand the conference over to the management.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon and a warm welcome on today's call on board decisions for disinvestment of home textile business and carve out spinning business through scheme of demergers. Raman, our CFO, along with Manu, Manish and Abhishek from the finance team, accompany me for this call. Requisite disclosures have been uploaded on the stock exchange. Hope you had a chance to download and go through the same. At the outset, we would like to thank you for all your utmost support and believing in us. We strive to always be agile in our conduct and aim to excel in our performance with the endeavor to create value for all our stakeholders. Your company has come around with a remarkable performance during this unprecedented and uncertain times of pandemic, and the same is communicated to you during the quarterly interactions. As you are aware, with a view to have greater focus business approach, we have initiated the process of demerger of our textile business. In the interim, we got an opportunity to unlock value of our home textile business, not being a strategic growth area for us, by divesting the same to Indocount Industries Limited as a going concern on a slump sale basis for a consideration of rupees 596 crores, subject to closing adjustments. This is a strategic decision which would help management to focus more on our core strength areas of chemical and spinning business. We are a marginal player in home textile business and generated average EBITDA of just 22 crore in last 3.5 years, which is less than 5% of the total EBITDA of company and less than 20% of the textile business. We are retaining our spinning business, which will account for more than 80% of our textile EBITDA and remain to be our core business. We believe that this disinvestment will unlock the value for all our stakeholders, as the proceeds of the sale will be plowed back to its core business of inorganic chemical and spinning, which will be a major catalyst to our growth journey going forward. In chemical, we would like to pursue opportunities like greenfield expansion, increasing its product basket, enhancing the capacity of refined bicarbonate business, enter into JV arrangement and attaining operational leverages through IoT and AI. In spinning business, we would like to focus to expand our value-added product basket as well as capacity to keep our growth momentum going. In addition to above, GSL is continuing with its objective of having separate entity for both these business verticals. Accordingly, board has also approved demerger of spinning business to GSL Textile Limited through scheme of demerger. The process of demerger is expected to be completed in next 6 to 8 months. I would like to reiterate that we are committed for creating the value for all our stakeholders and are putting our best efforts for that. Your support and trust drive us to pursue this endeavor with more zeal and energy. I would now request the moderator to open the forum for question and answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rahul Veera from Abacus. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So just wanted to understand in terms of post this transaction, in terms of debt in the textile segment, what would the debt look like? And in terms of given the remaining business of textile, how will it be able to service the debt, sir?
Rahul, if you look at the total debt of spinning business after, see, obviously after when we get this transaction done, some of the debt which relates to the home textile will get repaid. And after that, tentatively my understanding is the total debt is around 140 crore will remain into the demerged entity. And this figure of 140 crore is on September 30th, 2021.
Okay, and the interest cost in my view would be at least 7%, so that will be close to 10 crores of interest cost will be there. Will the spinning business, the existing business, will be able to generate that kind of EBITDA, sir? Because historically we've been very volatile in this segment.
No, but see, Rahul, if you look at the EBITDA of spinning business has been in close to more than around 100 crores. Broadly, if I look at, give you the number of last 3.5 years average, because as you rightly said, in the business, sometimes volatility is there on the textile business. The EBITDA of 3.5 years of average EBITDA of spinning business is 108 crore. So this 108 crore versus 7-8 crore rupees is nowhere near closer to the this. Absolutely, there is no issue on that.
Okay, okay, fair point. And so what will be the capex outlay over the next 3 years that we are looking, including the greenfield that we are planning?
See, broadly, Rahul, you know that overall our cash generation is in the range of around 500 to 600 crores from the entire GSL portfolio, right? Out of the home textile, EBITDA was cash profit of average was nothing, almost nothing. The overall profitability of the overall GSL will not have any significant, or I would say minor, even minor impact will not be there. So profitability remains, cash generation remains. And that will be sufficient to maintain our debt-equity ratio of 1:1 and grow in the business of Greenfield project, which we have announced, and also side-by-side growing on the spinning business also. As you know that we have already committed approximately around more than 240 crore into the spinning business, which project is under implementation, and they will have a sufficient cash to take care of the growth journey after the demerger. So overall, if you look at, we have enough resources, and you know that we are a completely deleveraged company. Our debt equity ratio is negligible. So that way we don't see any concern on our growth journey of chemical as well as the remaining spinning business, I would call it, not the textile business.
Sure, sir. Just wanted to understand from the supply chain side, did the home textile business procure any materials from the spinning division, and how will it happen going forward, sir?
See, overall in the total business of spinning, only 20% is getting consumed into the home textile. Balance 80% we still today also we sell into the market. So there is absolutely no concern. These two businesses are always in run independently, separate management, separate everything. And 80% of the business is already being sold. And now what we are doing, Rahul, is more on product basket expansion, value-added product. Those are the things which we are doing. And like, honestly, if you ask me, the product which we make into the spinning business, they are much more valuable than selling to the home textile business. So our focus is more on selling to the garment segment where the higher quality is required, the realization is much better. So this will definitely, of course, home textile like IndoCount or other players also will be keen of buying the product from us. But for me as a strategic decision, I will always consider to penetrate into the garment segment where the value realization is at least, I would say, 5% higher than the home textile segment. So our focus has been for last 2-3 years, and that is the reason we have reduced our dependence on the home textile. Like I said, if you look at the spinning business in totality, even the competition to whom we were selling the home textile, spinning yarn to the competition also, the figure would have been meager. So therefore, Going forward, this will be, frankly speaking, this will help even the spinning business to enhance their margins.
Right. Right. Fair point. Fair point, sir. Thank you so much for the time. I'll come back in the queue, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question from the line of Tarang from Old Bridge Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good afternoon. One question. What is going to be the post-tax cash flow after this transaction? And when do you think this transaction will be completely consummated?
See, in terms of the period, I would say that by 31st March 22 or 1st April 22, the agreement is 1st April on or before 1st April 2022. Because there are certain formalities needs to be completed. Some export obligations, shareholders approval, all those things will be required. So time frame wise, on or before 1st April 2022. In terms of the post tax, I would say that broadly the tax implication could be in the range of around 35-40 crores. Okay. So to that extent, tax will go, balance will be the net cash flow will be coming to the company.
Got it. Thank you, sir. That's it from me.
Thank you. The next question from the line of Sarvesh Gupta from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Sir, first I wanted to understand the valuation at which this business is getting sold. So, you know, if you look at Indocount itself, you know, it may be trading at 3-4 times of its book value. Compared to that, you know, given our small tax cash flow, it is very apparent that business is being sold probably less than 2 times book. Even on a EV to EBITDA basis, I don't know if you are saying what has been the EV to EBITDA for this sale transaction, sir, for last 12 months or FY22 expected for this business?
See, sir, there's two things I just want to highlight here. If you look at the valuation perspective, in any business, somebody rightly said, Rahul rightly said, this is a cyclical business, okay? Should you take the last 6 months of the data or should you take a longer term data? I can only tell you last 15 years of the data, in this business, we have never made a significant amount of EBITDA. And last 3.5 years, our EBITDA, average EBITDA was only 22 crores. Now keep that 22 crore into mind and look at the kind of a valuation which we got for the 22 crore average EBITDA. Now, even if you look at for a minute, you look at the data of 21, okay, 21, which I think just last passed, our revenue EBITDA, your EBITDA was in the range of around 42 crore of the home textile. So if you look at that also,
FY21,
my EBITDA was 42 crore only.
Okay.
Like,
and
I
what said, is the number for this month of this year, sir?
So month number is definitely slightly higher. It is approximately around 60 crores. However, like I said, you cannot take any business on the basis of the 6 month performance. If I can give you the data of 15 years, 5 years, 3 years, I have given you specific data.
Because they, in their presentation, they have said PBT of this business is around 45 crore. So does that mean that the depreciation and interest is only 15 crore for this business?
I don't know what number they have said. I don't have a PV to say what they have said.
They
I can
have
only
said 45 crore for the 6 month of FY22 as the PVT for this business.
So, after what number, PVT ka number? Right now, I don't have a number of PVT, but like I said, the EBITDA of this business of 6 months is, how much is there, Vijay, tell me?
6 crore is EBITDA, 11 crore is depreciation.
Yeah, so like you rightly said, the total EBITDA is 60 crore, depreciation is 11 crore, and the interest is 3 crore. The total figure is the bottom is coming to around 46 crore. So like you rightly said, they must have given the right number of 45, 46 crore. And in the investor presentation, I think we have already... okay. So, Sarvesh, like I said, few things. According to me, there are three things which are important. You sell the business at the right time. What is the right time? Right time is when everybody is positive about the business. Okay. I remember that in this business, maybe if I would have been spoken about this business, this investment 2 years back, probably we would have got the half of the value of what we have got just now. So you sell the business only when the people are positive about the business, that things are going in the right direction. But whether that right direction will continue for a longer period of time, that's a question mark, number one. Number two, are you in 15 years, are you being able to do a good value on the creation for the shareholders on this? No, we are not. And I have said in the many multiple calls that in the chemical business, we proudly say we are the best in class. In the spinning business, I proudly say that we are best in class. Our EBITDA margin is 18%. 3.5 years, my EBITDA margin in the spinning business is 18%. Where in this business, my EBITDA margin in 3.5 years is only 4%. So can I continue to sell continue to run a business with an EBITDA margin of 4%, which is a slightly longer term view? You have to take a longer term view, and the kind of a management time is required to run the business, the kind of a resources required the business. Is it better not to focus on the area where you are good at? So you know that we are a marginal player in this business. We are we have not been able to give a still out of my total home textile business, my capacity, we have been filling 50% of our capacity by the job work. So will you appreciate a business which have a lot of no return, lot of management time, and not seeing any growth? Last 5 years, I have not made any investment into this business, a significant capital allocation in this business, because I am not seeing a clear visibility going forward in this business, how this business will shape up. So rather do the things which you are good at. So we are good in the chemical. We will expand in the chemical. We are good in the spinning. 15 years of track record. We are the one of the best margin in the spinning business. We will do good there. We will plow back this money and management time in those businesses which creates a value for all our stakeholders. So that is why the logic of this investment and the valuation.
What is the sales and capital employed for FY21 and for H1, sir, for this business?
Just give me the minute, I'll just give you the number.
Say for FY21 numbers. Total sale.
Total sale.
Home
textile is FY21. How about 21 without? Give me a second.
455
crore. In FY21, my revenue was 455 crore.
And capital deployed is around 500.
And my capital deployed was roughly around 500 and something.
550 crore,
okay. Something of that, sir.
And H1, sir? H1 sales?
H1 sale, revenue is roughly around 396 crore. Okay? And EBITDA, I have already told you, 60 crore.
And finally, now what is the plan on the capital allocation part? Because already we are leveraged beyond the, I mean, we are lower than the optimum leverage right now in terms of debt to equity. And our greenfield is going to come with a lag, and also it will be back-ended and phase-wise. So there is no sort of immediate use of cash. And then we are generating 500-600 crore. And then we have got 500-600 crore more from this sale also. So, and we don't have any major capex plan apart from the regular capex and regular increase. So where all is this going to get deployed, and how much are you planning to give back to the shareholders as a special dividend or something? Because I really don't see any need of all this excess cash that we will be floating around with.
See, so there's two things. First and foremost, is it the right decision to sell and get the money at a time when you can get the money? Now, the question is, I think we, as a management, we believe this was the perfect timing of selling this business. Now, as you rightly said, the question remains is, how are we going to deploy that resources? Now, sometimes what happens, even if you don't have an opportunity, for a minute if I assume, there's no opportunity, but still, better to slightly deleverage, wait for the opportunity and invest the money in the right business which you believe is where you can create a value for the shareholders or for the all stakeholders. Why should I say only for the shareholders? For everyone. Now, so timing-wise, this was a perfect. But like deployment, as you rightly said, deployment-wise, we have planned like sodium bicarbonate. Sodium bicarbonate, we are expanding the business to the double the size what we have right now. We will require the capex there. Number two, The spinning, like I said, already we have committed 240 crore. We have signed the agreement of 500 crores of investments with the Tamil Nadu government. We are expanding there with the green energy. Similarly, for yes, the rear engines will be there. Till the time, it is nothing wrong in having a slightly deleverage and invest the money at the right place. Instead of in a hurry to make the investment and make a wrong investment at the wrong place. I personally believe that's not the right strategy for a long-term value creation. We are not in the business of a short-term value creation for our stakeholders. We are in the business of a long-term value creation. And you have seen our journey in the last 7-8 years. We have been gradually creating a value, consistently value creating for our stakeholders. And we'll continue to do that. But we are in a rush, not a rush. We can always look at, okay, buy a company of a facility chemical at a very high price and deploy these resources. I don't want to do that because ultimately my objective is not a 100-meter race. It's a marathon race. In that, we have to work in a manner so that in the long run, I can create a value. I don't mind being slightly deliberate and use these resources at the right place at the right time.
Understood, sir. But any hopes of a special dividend or any one-time payout to the shareholders?
We have been, service, we have always been rewarded our shareholders in terms of the buyback, in terms of the dividend. If the shareholders believe that returning the capital to the shareholders will be more beneficial than creating a growth opportunity out of that business, we can always discuss this on the board. But like you people are large shareholders, you will understand that sometimes the return on capital employed is important from the shareholders' perspective also. How are they going to deploy the resources? But we will be open to these kinds of a thought and discussion going forward. To how to reward the shareholders. Right now we have not thought of any of that kind because we have just concluded the deal yesterday only. And still, understand that this deal is going to still take 4 months' time. We will have enough time to look at how do we look at that part of suggestion which you have given it to us.
Understood, sir. Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all participants, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Gandhi from Discovery Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Did you want to understand, so how much is the EBITDA of the spinning business both in H1, FY21 and FY22? So we just have some indication of how large that is?
Mr. Gandhi, is a very significant number. I'll just give you the number. In FY21, our EBITDA was 113 crores from spinning business, which was 18%. Whereas in the home textiles was only 42 crores. In the 6 month number which I've just given, 60 crores is the EBITDA of home textile, whereas the EBITDA of spinning was 116 crores. The margin was 29%.
Got it.
The spinning business has always been rewarding.
So I think 116 crores is the EBITDA for the remaining business for the last 6 months, effectively.
Yes, and that is going to retain with us. That is going to remain with us.
Yes. Got it. And how many incremental spindles are we adding? And do we expect that to come on stream?
See, as per the target, it was supposed to be coming in March 22. However, because of this weather condition, 1 or 2 months of some machine supply delay there. Maybe it will take another 1 or 2 months. And this will get completed and this will be 40,000 spindle. This will give us a revenue of roughly around 200 crores extra revenue out of that business. And again, like I said, if you look at the data of home spinning, I just want to reiterate the data again. Last 4 year data in front of me, 112 crore in FY19, 91 crore in FY20, 113 crore in FY21 and 3 years average is 105 and 6 months 116. So what I'm trying to say is spinning business, whereas in the home textile in FY19 my EBITDA was zero. FY20 it was minus 14.
Got it.
What I'm trying
to say, if I hear you correctly, what you're saying is actually, if we look at your textile business, you are primarily a spinning player. You were trying your hand at home textile. It has not actually played out as planned. So given there was a player who is a leader who was okay acquiring it at a reasonable cost, you exited to them, they may be able to do two great things with it, but with us, we can redeploy it at a lot more attractive rates of return, is what our view is.
Yeah, you are very rightly said. You see, sometimes you do something good, like in spinning, we do better than the many people, okay?
Yeah.
But they might be doing good into the home textile. They're a good player in the home textile. So they will be able to create a value for their stakeholders, whereas we will be able to create a value for this, our stakeholders by way of a spinning or the chemical business.
Sure. And this, sir, just to understand, on the spinning side of things, are we on the specialized side of it? Because how are we able to have 18% plus EBITDA over the last 3-4 years? That's appearing to be slightly higher than most of the other players out there. So just want to understand is that are we in a specialized area? Is the way we run our costs better? Just want to understand with that. And effectively, the ROCE roughly over the last 3 years of spinning.
See, like you very rightly said, in the spinning business, we are mastered, if I can use the wrong word, we are mastered in three things. One is our understanding about the cotton outlook has been fabulous. I can give you the data of 570 because that is the largest cost of any spinning business. That is number one. So that is one we have been able to do at the right time. That is number one. Second, our product basket. The way we have transformed this business in the last 5-6 years by going into the right, we call it as the right customer. The same product, if I sell it to the home textile, I'll get 5% lower value than I'm selling it to the garment segment, and that too also specialized garment requirement. Because the quality standard or the quality requirements are significantly different. So we have been able to make our infrastructure and the culture where we have been able to create those high quality, specialized yarn, special fiber from Pima cotton or the Giza cotton or the Australian cotton, you name it. We are making every type of yarn. So that is where we get a better value from our customers. And the customers who does not want to, will not like to move away from us, even if maybe we are 5% or 3% costlier than the market, because consistency in the quality. That is the second thing. So on terms of the cost competitiveness, power, we have significantly made an investment into the power. Our power cost is very significantly lower than the competition. Similarly, on the labor cost, we have modernized this plant, but labor cost is only coming to 4%, 4.5%. So all these things, cost-wise, we have aligned ourselves rightly. Similarly, on the other side, we have been able to sell to the right customer. My return on capital, Mr. Gandhi, you asked me, my return on capital employed on a slightly longer term is around 15%.
This is all spinning or this is overall textile and we should...
I'm only talking about spinning.
Spinning, okay. Got it. Okay. Oh. Got it. Understood, sir. That's extremely helpful and then we like look forward to hearing your plans over the next few months on a capital allocation of the free cash flows and the reserves you have as well.
Yes, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anish Jawaria from Banyan Capital Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. First, sir, I wanted some clarification on the debt. So at one point of time, I think we have mentioned that our debt on the in the textile side has been near to 300 odd crores. So if you could give a clarification on how much is related to the home textile and how much is to the spinning and how much would be transferred to, say, Indocount because of this transaction, that would be very helpful to understand, sir, a bit more granular.
No, first of all, foremost, there is no debt is going to be transferred to the Indocount. It's an all-cash deal and all the debt and everything will be taken care by us. Okay. That is number one. In terms of September 2021, like I said, the remaining debt, all debt put together, I'm talking about working capital debt and everything put together, is around 140 crore. The remaining debt is approximately around how much is the debt for the home textile on 30th September?
September was 150 crore.
150 crore. 150 crore. So like you rightly said, the number was 300 and something. Out of that, 160 remains with the spinning business, and 150 crore is with the home textile, which will get paid off from the proceeds which we will be getting from the new acquirer.
Okay, got it. And secondly, sir, so we did spinning division revenues of 350 crores in H1 FY22, approximately, let's say, and which means an annualized run rate of 700 odd crores. So do you think that the 700 crores of the revenue run rate is now sustainable going forward, or is there any further upside here also? I mean, without this 200 crores of spinning capex, which will come on stream in the next year, so from the existing capacity.
See, 6 months data of spinning business, my revenue is around 400 and plus.
Mm-hmm.
So if I take that number, then you can surely multiply that number and the figure to comes around 800, 850 crore. Because in this 6 months also, a few weeks were there where the Tamil Nadu was closed, if my memory goes right. So if I take that, this number is coming to something around 800, 850 crores. And surely after this expansion which we are doing, this number will be surely be crossing more than 1,000 crores.
Okay, and sir, to understand this expansion a bit better, so at one point we had mentioned about 200 crores of expansion, right? So this is the one which is already going on. And then another 500 crores of capex will be coming in the future. So is that correct that we are now looking at a total capex of around 700 odd crores between these two plants which have been announced?
And no, total figure is 500 crores. Out of that, like you rightly said, 240 crore we are making an investment now, and balance amount will get invested in next year.
Okay, so I just want to understand, like, what is the kind of debt to equity that we will be looking to take in the textile business? I mean, how the numbers would look over there. So once the demerger complete, like, what would be the total or the net debt to equity in the textile business itself? How are you looking at this? And secondly, also if you could give a more clarity on the timeline of this capex and what kind of return expectation do we have over here?
See, let me answer one by one. In terms of the indicative numbers which will get transferred, of course the number will be at the time of when the demerger gets approved, the number will be visible. However, as on 30th of September, this number was 160 crores. Okay. Against that, my debt, my net worth was roughly around 700 crores. If I take that from that perspective, you will find that we have a significant deleveraged balance sheet of the spinning business going forward.
Right.
And maybe this number can be slightly more improved because once this money is coming in and we can make more deleverage the spinning business so that they have their own journey of a growth with a sufficient resources in their balance sheet. And they are also earning, like I said, they are also earning good. So they will be able to continue out their journey of a growth, number one. You said in terms of the investment which we are making, what is the visibility of the return? Like I said, if you look at a math on this basis, that we have been generating around 15 to 18% return from this business in the longer term period. So I would expect that this should be slightly better, this new investment should be slightly giving a better return than this number of 15 to 18%. So you can rest assured that this return will be much better than the cost of capital, which we are, you know that 7% is approximately our cost of borrowing is there.
Fantastic, sir.
I hope I have been able to answer your question.
The next question from the line of Tej Prakash, an individual investor, please go ahead. Mr. Tej Prakash, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead with your question. As there is no response, we move to the next question, which is from the line of Prerna Jhunjhunwala from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Opportunities and congratulations, sir, on the sale. So just wanted to understand what was the capacity utilization of home textiles division in FY21 and in first half?
See, Prerna, if you look at in terms of the capacity utilization, the processing capacity, I would like to divide that into two parts. One is our own export, which we were doing, which was approximately around 50%. balance amount we were doing your job work. So in terms of the utilization, yes, I was doing the 90% plus. But whether I've been able to create value out of the job work, no.
Okay. So then in first half, like half revenue is much higher at an annual run rate than your FY21 numbers. Is it just the time difference or there's a...
No, Prerna, if I can say that, you know that in the last few months or last few quarters, the textile has been on the upswing because of the two reasons. On one side, the raw material cost was on the lower side, and whereas we have been able to get the better price from the market. So one of the advantage which is coming for the home textile as well as for the spinning business. In home textile, what you see, the jump of EBITDA expanding from 40 crore to 60 crore in 6 months. 1 year of data was 42 crore, and 6 months you got the data of 60 crore. That was primarily because of that. But now the things are changing because the raw material prices has gone up, your cotton prices has gone up, whereas transferring these costs to the buyer is one of the biggest tasks for anybody in the home textile. Because you know that the concentration of the buyer in the home textile is, and this I have been saying in the last few quarters, that margin contraction will happen into the textile business going forward. So probably I would call it a reasonable margin into home textile in the range of around 14 to 15%, which have been, we were not achieving that. Like I said, if you look at my EBITDA margin, was in the range of average of 3 years, 3.5 years, it's only 4%. Right? Probably the logical number is around 15%. Whereas the spinning business, it is in 3.5 years, 18%. My understanding is, of course, in 6 months we got a margin of 29% in the spinning. That is not going to sustain for a longer period of time.
Okay. And sir, with this 50% utilization that you did with the premium customers, the customer to also move with the business, or there will be a fresh requirement from customer side to evaluate stuff again for procurement? How's the
See, in terms of, we are transferring the business on a going concern basis right now. And all the customers, all the employees, everything, all the commitment, all the your vendors, everything will get transferred to them. So they will be getting a business which is having a turnover of X value. They will be getting that. Along with that, they will be getting the assets. And they will get all the employees.
Okay.
Balance, they have secured the business themselves.
Okay. And with GSPL, your net, your inflow is around 370 odd crores, minus the debt that you have to repay to the bankers, minus the tax.
Prerna, we are getting 596 crore to be precise. Okay. Out of that, we have to pay the debt, like just indicated the number to you, 150 crore. Balance amount, out of that, probably we have to pay some other liabilities. But broadly, I would say that my finance team is giving me the figures that 500 and means roughly around 400 crores or 450 crore kind of a number will be coming to us. Out of that, some taxes has to be paid, like I said, because of the income on this one-time income, 30-40 crore will go there. The balance amount will remain with us.
Okay, that's great. And sir, could you just give me some details about the spinning capex that you will be incurring post this 40,000 spindles that is going to come in FY23 first quarter, right?
No, like I said, Prerna, that around 250 crore is already committed to the spinning business. Then we have sodium bicarbonate also, where there also we are doubling the capacity. So all this investment will grow there, but we will have a surplus cash, no doubt about it. And for that, next year we are also looking at expansion into the spinning business. Now we will have a focus also onto the spinning business to slightly expand the business more rapidly, because the now management time will also be there, resources will be there.
And you see the spinning margins continuing at higher levels as you've seen in the last 12 months.
Not only Prerna on the 12 months, like I said, the respectable margin of the spinning business in the range of around 18 to 20%. In last 3.5 years, my EBITDA margin of the spinning business has been 18%. So I'm assuming this 18% or slightly 1 or 2% more should be possible going forward if everything goes well. In a slightly longer term, because somebody rightly said some volatility is there in this business, but on a longer term basis, this kind of a margin should be achievable on this business.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you so much for this detailed answer. So, congratulations and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranay Zaveri from JNJ Holdings Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for this opportunity. Sir, if you can just share some thoughts on the capex in spinning. What are the number of spindles that we are planning in phase 1 and phase 2, including the latest Tamil Nadu announcement?
See, right now, we are approximately around, I'm just giving you the round figure number, we are roughly around 195,000 spindles right now. Okay. In addition to that, we have a LJT spinning, we have a TFO, we have open-end machines, and so on. So if I look at in terms of if I club everything, then we are at more than 200,000 spindles at this point of time. Then we are adding another 40,000, which is getting completed. Like I said, in next few months, it is going to be completed. Next year, we have another plan of 40,000-50,000 spindles, which plan is already under discussion, and that will get implemented next year. So probably you can say that by in another 1.5 years of time, probably we'll be reaching to the level of around 300,000 spindles broadly if I take everything put together. And this is a reasonably a good size of the spinning business in India.
And if you can just throw some light on the current yarn spread, how are you seeing things?
See, yarn spread at this point of time is very good. But like I said, you should in a longer term, you should not look at those kind of a spread. And you should be looking at a reasonable spread. And like I said, the margin should be in the range of around 18 to 20%. You should expect on that business EBITDA margin. I think that should be a fair assumption of on a slightly longer term perspective. But yes, next 6 months could be a good good period for the spinning business. Continue.
Okay. And sir, last question on my side. In terms of this sale of home textile division, I'm just wondering if we were in not so much of hurry of getting this cash as our all expansions, future expansions are taken care of by our internal cash flows. And probably in home textiles, we are at probably one of the lowest point in terms of our RM cost hitting us badly and we are not able to pass on. So I'm just trying to understand from a longer point of view, if we were to compare as there is a ballpark figure that you are saying that spinning three and a half years past margins are better, whereas in home textiles is not. But if I were to see your last, say, 10 years, EBITDA margins and comparing home textiles with your spinning. So I'm just trying to understand that aren't we selling at a low point of time and would have waited since we are not in that dire need of cash. Thank you, sir.
No, but let me give you this other way around. I think if you look at the 15 years of the data of home textiles, we have never made money. We have never made money. A small portion only on 16, 17. We have made and always we have been losing money on this business. That is number one. In terms of the timing, see, I always believe that the best time of selling is when somebody is interested in buying, and the people will be interested in buying only when they see that the future is bright or looks to be better. There is a buoyancy even in the normal behavior. What we do when the things are looking good, then only that time only we want to buy. So I think in terms of the timing wise, I think we could have been late if I would have waited for another 1 year or 6 months. And if we have not done good job in 15 years, how can we believe that we will be able to do the good job in going forward? I think in terms of the timing, I personally believe this was a perfect time, perfect valuation, because you get the better valuation only when the things are better. The same situation, I repeat it, when had I sold it 2 years back, I would have got for the fixed asset valuation, we could have got maybe 60% or 50% of the value which we have, because nobody is interested in buying. So selling at the right time is the right thing, and I personally believe this is the right time.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikas Kasturi from Focus Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Vikas Kasturi, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead with your question. May we request you to...
Sorry. My line was on mute. My apologies. First of all, congratulations, sir, on this deal. Sir, I have just one question. Sir, you have a couple of retail brands, iFlow. So do you have any plans to divest them anytime in the future? That's it, sir, from my side.
So because you are right, in terms of that is also one of the business, which is a very small product basket or business model we have. And we have there also we have not been able to create a big value out of that. Okay. So at the right opportunity, if we find some right buyer, we don't mind selling that business also. Because again, that is not making a strategically sense of a 100 crore or 50 crores to 100 crores of the business in the basket of the thing. But at this point of a time, we don't have that any such kind of a possibility. But yes, if opportunity comes, and I just want to remind my investors that 2-3 years back, I have said this. We run the business not with the emotion. We run the business with the logic, and we run the business with the future prospects of the business where we can do the right. And we have said that if in the home, because there were a lot of concerns from the investors that you are not doing good in the home textile, where the people are doing. I said, if the right time, if required, we will divest from this business. And we have demonstrated that without having an emotion of continuing with the business where you are not doing good. Similarly, on the iFlow, which you said, at the right time, if we find an opportunity, very small business in our no significance into the bottom line or the top line, we don't mind getting from that business if we get an opportunity.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for your detailed answers.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Sinha from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question, sir. And first of all, congratulations for the deal. So most of my questions are already answered. So just wanted to understand, in post-demerger, how would we seeing the management team of both this business, and how we should see the basically the employee cost going forward?
See, in terms of the Rohit, in terms of the business, as you know, that both the businesses we are good at, and we will continue to grow that for both the businesses. In terms of the employee cost, I don't see any significant change into the employee cost of both the businesses separately also. Because that spinning business is a very focused, small group of people. They are managing that business, and we will continue with that journey. Because that's a commodity business, I must say that. And therefore, the cost competitiveness in all corners, be it a employee cost, be it a power cost, be it any cost. We are very agile on that basis that loads the business to the extent which can sustain the business in a longer term basis. Not in a short term. If you are making good money, does not mean that load the cost with a lot of this thing. So we have, like I said, only 4-5% is my total wages cost into the spinning business. And we'll continue with that kind of a journey in the spinning business going forward. Even in the chemical business, my total cost is coming in, if my memory is correct, maybe around 5%, 5.5% kind of a thing. And that also we will maintain. Size will become bigger into this into chemical business, because that's our core competency. But my cost will proportionately not go up; it will rather come down in terms of the percentage.
Okay. Thank you so much. That was all from my side. And
thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Please limit your questions to 2 per participants. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, namaskar sir, and congratulations sir. Sir, firstly, what would be the effective date of this unit getting transferred? Means by what time we will be booking the revenues and the profitability from this segment in our books?
See, the date is 1st April 2022 on or before 1st April 2022. We will try to complete as quickly as possible, but as on date, the target date is on or before 1st April 2022.
So in lay language, sir, the for this current quarter, for the December quarter and also for the some part of the March quarter, the revenue and the profitability from the home textiles would be clubbed in the GSCL combined entity.
Yes, up to March 2022, if the date remains the same, the profitability and the revenue will continue with the part of the GSCL.
Right. Sir, when we see this announcement on 27th of November of 500 crore MOU in the state of Tamil Nadu, that 500 crore capex will happen when, sir? And you are factoring that into the current year 240 crore amount? Is that being clubbed together? I didn't get that number.
Yes, Saket, we have got both these figures clubbed into that because you see, you get some incentive from the government also. So on this MOU which we have signed, we will have some incentive from the government. So we have clubbed these numbers and we will be getting those incentive on those numbers.
Okay. And sir, just to come to a very small point, sir, we were in the merge at the anvil of the demerger. Had we received the order, the demerger would have happened had not the date been extended to the next 23rd January. And now we will be calling back the proceedings. Sir, what actually transpired in such a small span of time that we were able to conclude such an important transaction, sir, over a period of just two months? If you could throw some light. And also, sir, is the current soda ash prices, the realizations, the improved realizations and the factors that are contributing, that are giving you the direction that the prices are going to remain at these levels, gave us some more impetus to exit this segment and grow the soda ash faster than what it would have happened had the prices remained at March levels? So are these things connected? If you could give some more color.
No, it is not connected, Saketji. It is not absolutely not connected. These two businesses are completely different. And it is nowhere connected. Our decision has not been based on since the soda ash is doing good and therefore we should disinvest. No. Because we don't take a short-term view on any of the business. You know, in the soda ash business, consistently we have been performing very good. Yes, currently the market scenario is very bullish. We are expanding our margins and we continue to believe that in next 1.5 year to 2 years time, the margin should be much better than what it has been in the past. But that has no relationship with the exit of this decision. Now, coming back, as you rightly said, on the midst of demerger, we got this opportunity in few months back. It's not happened in 1 month or 2 months. It has taken quite a bit of our time. We were debating and we were discussing. And a lot of final points, you know that a lot of final points has to be debated, negotiated, and this has taken a significant amount of time. We were in the midst of that. And the moment this had got finalized, so instead of doing the demerger and waiting for this transaction to wait another 6 months' time, we thought it is always beneficial for my stakeholders to complete this transaction and do the demerger in another 6 months' time. That's always better. Then you go with the, otherwise what you do is all the transaction, you first take it to the new company, do all those changes, and then again...
I got your point, sir. And what is the cost of setting up this 1,000 spindles today? If we take the enterprise value of this spinning business on a replacement basis, the current 2 lakh spindles with the modernized facility, what should be the replacement cost?
It depends on what kind of a machine configuration you do, what kind of a thread count, which is a coarser count, which is a finer count.
For us, sir, what it is?
Broadly, if you can say, I would say roughly, my understanding is, it should not be less than 40 to 50,000 rupees per spindle. So if you take that basis, the valuation of the spinning business, which is 200,000, and mind it, we have, along with that, we have a solar energy, we have a wind energy, we have, so if you look at it, it will be not less. replacement value or more, maybe 1100 crores. I'm just giving the ballpark number. I'm not prepared that number. It could be in the range of around 1100 crores rupees. Should be the number. Because green energy itself, we must have paid around 200 crores in the all put together.
Okay.
All put together, something around 1100 crores to 1200 crores should be the kind of a value of maybe 1000 to 1200 crores kind of a thing.
And depending on today's mix of yarn which we are selling, well, at optimum level, what should be the peak revenue for the spinning capacity on a standalone basis?
I've just said, Takeji, that number could be in the range of around 800-850 crores of the top line. Should be kind of a number, should be there.
Okay.
And the way we are going to journey, maybe this is, maybe touch around 1000 crores.
Right. And very small point, sir. Sir, we have always tried to move up the value chain, whether it is from the soda ash, we have the sodium bicarbonate and looking at other product baskets. Even here also, I think so, various types of yarns we are looking into. But currently, if we look at the profile of the company, we are into the two commoditized product only, whether it is on the soda as one hand and the other side it is yarn. So what steps are in the anvil or is the management contemplating so that we can move into that value-added segment wherein we will have more margin accretive and products going ahead. And lastly, sir, as earlier also emphasized to share this amount with your shareholder, with this demerger proposal again being persuaded, the thought for buyback again get delayed since no buyback can happen when the restructuring or demerger is in the anvil. So that gets elongated again by a year or 1.5 years maybe, sir. So what is the thought on that, sir?
See, first of all, let's answer the last question first. You see, I don't personally believe that this time this demerger will take such a long time, because there's a very valid thought process. One, earlier, because of the home textile, the banker support was not as supportive as it is going to be now. Because that business is doing, they are a lot of concern about the home textile. Now the business which is getting demerged is a highly profitable business. So we will not take longer time from the getting the banker's approval. Second, as of course the COVID is still there, but COVID has also delayed the process of this thing. So overall, my belief is that it should not take more than 6 to 8 months time of getting the demerger completed. And we will be pushing for that timeline. Now coming back to, you said commodity versus, see, two things, Takeji. One, see, sometimes in the anxiety of creating a value-added product, we went to the home textile with the same thought. We are going for a value chain. Our experience has not been good in that. So I think my personal belief is try to be doing the things which you are good at. And you can create a value in the space where you are good at. That do those things, number one. Second, yes, in this space itself, we are creating a branding perspective. Like I said in the spinning, we are creating a benchmark for ourselves that we will be catering to this kind of a customer, this kind of a product basket, where the commodity will have a lesser role to play. Means you will have a certain quality standard, certain customers, certain product basket, which is a value-added product. I can sell one product which is a commodity of a 30 count. But instead of that 30 count, I am making a product which is made out of Australian cotton, same 30 count with Australian cotton. That is the value-added product. Then we are adding, like I said, air jet spinning. We are adding we have added TFO. So do those kind of a thing to create a basket. Now we have come with some of the innovative products into spinning. The 40,000 which we are spending or we are investing, there we are going to produce all the innovative products of the spinning. So we are remaining in the spinning, but we will be moving in the value chain and going to the innovative products. That is the one. In the chemical side, two things. Sodium bicarbonate. Sodium bicarbonate is the value of the product. We are expanding the product basket. And as you know that in the product basket expansion, we are looking at the possibility of some of the opportunity in the specialty chemical or in the API or the bulk chemical. So that is also, so we are clear in our mind that let's do the something which you are good at, create a value in those things by doing the things differently than the other commodity players are doing. And that will be able to, you will be able to create a value for your stakeholders. That is where the thought process is.
Right, right, sir. And lastly, sir, on the soda ash price trends, the way we exited the quarter and the last conversation, and currently with the vegetables in the raw material prices now subsiding, does the trend still continue, or there is a fallback in the international prices as in the case with other commodities, sir?
It continues the same way, Saketji. And I like I said, at least for 1 or 2 years, I clearly see a good return coming on from that business.
Right, sir. And sir, so thank you, sir, for the clarification. Thank you for the call, sir, for taking into account our request and addressing us in the proper forum, sir. And all the best, sir. We are there to support the company in the growth journey, and we hope all stakeholders, as have been looked, will be looked going forward also. And all the best, sir, to the team, sir. May God bless them. Thank you.
Thank you, Sakriji. Thank you, everyone. Any other question?
Thank you. Due to time constraint, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Oh, thank you very much to all my stakeholders and my shareholders. I have always been saying that we will do our best in terms of creating a value for my stakeholders. In the right spirit, in the right way, yes, sometimes when you do the things in a good intention, a good thing, sometimes you may make mistakes, but that will happen. But overall, our endeavor or the passion of the entire GSL team is only one thing. How do I create a value for my stakeholders in a longer term perspective, not from a shorter term perspective? We feel pride that we have been able to do a reasonable job, and we will continue to work hard on that. And your support is really encouraging to us in our journey. So thank you for all your support and the guidance.
Thank you. On behalf of MK Global Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.